A serious incident on board Starship Talika. Hello, my friends, thank you for being here with me again. I hope you are all happy and well. I am Marie. I am perfectly aware that in the New Age community, extraterrestrial spacecraft are portrayed as perfect machines, which were manifested using only the love and good intentions of their creators. And even more, many famous authors push the idea that Pleiadians travel through space in Merkaba craft made of pure light and generated by their overinflated egos, or whatever, where they are always portrayed as perfect, beautiful beings, including the men, who also look beautiful in a feminine manner. For me, this is highly suspicious, because men are not meant to be beautiful in that way. So I link it with the present agenda on Earth of destruction of masculinity, and of femininity as well, for that matter, always equalizing the genders, where they no longer can be distinguished from one another, in the name of equality, equality where it is not needed, and all to reduce the population, but that is another subject. The idea that everything on Earth is slow and pasty, when outside it is all perfect and of high existential realms, is everywhere, and I'm even perfectly aware that several of my predecessors are guilty of that as well. Things are not so simple, as there are lower and higher existential realms everywhere, so, yes, there are higher beings, light beings, and creatures of high existential realms who no longer need spacecraft, and they no longer need to travel a space. Distance and time are only illusions of the mind. They only need to want to be somewhere, and be seen by whoever they want, and they are there suddenly, as they manifest themselves at will, because they live in a realm beyond time, and beyond distances. But some of us need elaborate mechanical devices, called starships, to travel through space, because we are as material as you are, because we are more people, because we basically live in the same realm as you do. And I say this, fully knowing that we are all in the astral, all the time, and that we are illusions of our own mind, as I have explained many times before, yet in our everyday experience, we do live in this material world, so I'm not contradicting myself. I am also well aware that many people like our information, but not our dramas, but they are only part of life, because we are alive, and we are more people like you, so things do happen to us, as things happen to you too, so get over it, because the most important message I can give you all, is that you are not alone, and there are more people just like you watching over Earth from space, and who were not born there on your planet. And lastly, I must state that those past dramas were created by people who my group was in contact with, and were blown out of proportion because of their reactions and frustrations, and not by us here. I'm sorry for having said all this before getting to the nitty-gritty of the subject of this video, but I felt it was necessary. This next information was not meant to be made public, yet after several days have passed, we reconsidered and decided to share it with all of you. It was not meant to be made public, because it would look like more of that unlike drama. It would give everyone the idea that we are vulnerable and incapable of sustaining our presence here, but not we see things the other way round, as it is an example of Tejetan tenacity and capacity of adaptation and improvisation, while working and living in deep space. After all, being here orbiting Earth is deep space for us. I think it is important to share this with you all as it is another example of what it is like to live on a large starship. On the morning of the 28th of December 2023, our supply ship, Saska 1, arrived on schedule, and proceeded to dock side by side with Starship Talika, as it always does. This is a delicate procedure, because you must maneuver two very large and heavy starships, bringing them together very slowly and very carefully, as their large mass tends to attract them together as magnets do, causing a potential crash. The docking procedure is as follows: Saska 1 and Talika in low Earth orbit move side by side, getting closer and closer, until their large hangar doors coincide. Then Saska 1 extends a telescopic boot, shaped to fit with the large rectangular doors of both spacecraft. And once together, they move closer to one another until they finally touch, and then are secured together by large mechanical clamps. This maneuver is done using gravity manipulation engines only, and it is quite delicate because any mistake can cause a crash, and two heavy starships crashing, or rubbing against one another, even at low speed, can cause a lot of damage, as this procedure is done under their shields, so the ships are not protected by them. Once docked together, the large rectangular doors of the hangars of both spacecraft open, and as they are together, anyone can simply walk across from one ship to the other. The unloading of provisions, supplies, and spare parts then takes place using simple forklift loaders and platform vehicles, which move everything that is needed from Saska 1 to Talika and vice versa quite efficiently. This time Saska 1 arrived, it unloaded two brand new, last generation and state-of-the-art, fighter-class starships, the sixth generation of the very successful Suzy class, called Super Suzy Mark VI, which are meant to replace older Scimitar-class starships that are aging. After the two Super Suzys were unloaded through the main hangar doors with no incidents, the two Scimitar ships that had been replaced had to be loaded into the hangar bay of the Saska 1, so they could be taken back to Temma to be given another easier role, training new cadets. But as the hangars of both ships were almost full, the maneuvers became delicate and complicated as they had to move several fighter-class starships inside the hangars using tractors, and in very close proximity with one another. And in some cases, the wingtips of one were passing under the wings of other slightly larger ones, in a situation that is exactly like moving aircraft inside the hangars of human-built aircraft carriers, at sea. As the hangars were full, the Scimitar ships could not be moved from Talika to Saska 1 using the main super-large hangar doors, because the new ships were in the way, so they opted to use the secondary and much smaller hangar doors to move the Scimitars across. The problem was that those doors were barely large enough to fit a Scimitar ship through them, with only like a fraction of a meter of clearance, or so it was calculated. As there was not enough space inside Talika to turn the Scimitar ship around, they had to tow it into Saska 1 in reverse. When the Scimitar ship, called Hungry Gunnable, was halfway across, the tow tractor started to twist it to one side so it would fit, so that it could pass free from the parked shuttles inside Saska 1, but it twisted it before time, because there was not enough clearance between the Hungry Gunnable and the door. This torsion movement caused the Scimitar ship to become wedged under pressure in the rectangular opening between both ships. All the procedures and efforts to reverse the Hungry Gunnable back into Talika failed as they only caused the Gunnable to become more wedged, because the pressure it was under was worsened by the natural and normal movements between both large starships, to the point where the tires in the wheels of the front landing gear of the Gunnable exploded, with a horrible noise, causing all the weight of the ship to reside on the bare rims of its front landing gear, which also deformed the floor of Talika's hangar. This caused the landing gear of the Gunnable to be inside a depression in the metal of the floor, which made it impossible to move in any direction. As well as the floor, Talika's door railing above was also being damaged by the wedged ship. The engineers of both Talika and of Saska 1 tried to disassemble the Hungry Gunnable's front landing gear, but as all the components were under a lot of pressure, when they removed a bolt, it shot away like a bullet, so they decided not to disassemble as it was too dangerous. They proceeded to attempt to cut away parts of the landing gear, which was the one wedging the ship, but it is made of very special high-grade and high-resistance metal, so the best plasma cutters only managed to make it glow white-hot, but did not manage to cut through. As the days passed, the added mass of the two large starships was starting to cause the Talika and the Saska 1 to lose orbital speed and altitude. In other words, they were starting to fall to Earth, and the critical altitude was now about to be reached, where they would be so low that they would start to become visible from Earth, as they would start to bite the atmosphere, as it is said here, and that means that the air molecules hitting the ships would start to glow, making both ships visible, making a comet or meteorite-like effect, as seen from the surface. Days passed by and no progress was being made, and the engineers of both ships were starting to get very worried as they had limited time to solve the problem, before Talika and Saska 1 became visible, therefore breaking Prime Directive, Federation regulations. The ships could not start the engines to correct and gain altitude because the dynamic pressure effect added to the wedged hungry gunwale would cause enough lever torsion to badly damage Talika and Saska 1. They had to remove the trapped ship before being able to correct altitude, with an engine burn, as it is called here. The Tejitans acted stubbornly as they proudly did not want to ask for help, not even from their close friends the Irma, who are close by in their starship Avian 1, and they all fought to solve the problem as everyone else on Earth was enjoying New Year's Eve celebrations. As yet another day went by, the ships finally started to bite the atmosphere, so they had no choice but to start the engines with minimum power, and coordinate the small burn with Saska 1, in an attempt to gain orbital speed and altitude, as both ships had to start their engines in perfect synchronicity as to prevent the wedged, trapped gunwale from causing further damage. As they performed the small engine burn, the dynamic pressures on the trapped hungry gunwale were too much, as was expected, and this added pressure caused the parts of the ships to violently collapse with a large explosion. Not a chemical explosion with fire and all, I mean an energy release explosion, where pressurized metal violently gives way, like a large destructive compressed spring. I heard this explosion, and felt the shudder even through my headphones, and while I was in my room several decks below. This explosion badly damaged the hangar door of Talika, fracturing the hull above, and badly damaging hydraulic and air tubes and equipment above, and slightly damaged the door frame on Saska 1. The explosion caused several hull plates of Talika to deform and break away. It also caused life-sustaining equipment of the hangar area to be destroyed, mainly the air and oxygen supply lines were fractured, causing Talika to vent air and oxygen into space, as well as hydraulic fluid that was used to open and close hangar doors, fluid that was spilling all over the outer hull above the ship, making a terrible mess. The containment valves of the pneumatic equipment, air, oxygen, and hydraulic systems could not isolate the problem and the leaks, because they too were badly damaged, because they were subjected to tremendous pressure. And this almost caused a fire, and if it had happened then the consequences would have been much, much worse, and we probably wouldn't be here now. This damage did not cause ship decompression, because the energy shields outside still acted maintaining the air inside, as they are designed to do so. An hour after this explosion, the hungry gunwale was finally released and was towed into the Saska 1. It was badly bent, and its hull was broken in several places. The hungry gunwale is considered to be a total loss, as it had been twisted and grinded between two very large starships, the Talika and the Saska 1. Talika sustained heavy damage and was considered that it had to be taken back to Tema for extensive repairs in a shipyard. Sasuke 1 sustained damage to its hangar door and railing, making it unusable. Having initiated an engine burn to gain orbital speed and altitude was a bad mistake, especially because the consequences were foreseen, but they had no choice as both large ships were starting to fall to Earth. Sasuke 1 and Talika, still docked together, performed a series of small engine burns to slowly correct orbital speed and altitude, and then proceeded to study the damage and the situation. Sasuke 1 is not only a supply ship, like a cargo vessel, but it is also a backup platform to help other starships in deep space. It is full of workshops, large replicator machines, construction and repair equipment, and service vehicles, and it also carries several tons of spare parts and generic materials for deep space repairs. Right after this incident, all the engineers of the Sasuke 1 and Talika, including her lead engineer, Zykira, started to work on the repairs, to do their best so Talika not need to limp back to Tema for repairs, leaving this area around Earth unattended, and for an unknown amount of time. As the days go by, the repairs have advanced a lot, although they are still working on the damaged places and equipment. Talika no longer needs to go back to Tema for repairs, but we almost needed to go away from here, this was a close one. The repairs will still take several days to be concluded, if not weeks, but it has now been said that everything will be solved from here, with the help of Sasuke 1 and her crew, who will continue to be docked with Talika for the time being. The last time I was in the hangar looking at what they were doing, they were placing new floor plates on Talika's hangar with a vehicle with a crane, and they were welding them on. After fixing the damage, Sasuke's engineers and workshops will continue repairing smaller places, things and damaged or worn out equipment on Talika, such as a servicer elevator that does not work. The good thing is that no one got hurt, it was only a frightening event for us all, and it was only an accident, nothing more. This incident has also made us get closer to them, as friends and part of our team here, and have also provided another large ship to be able to walk to, so we can see, live and expand where we can go, just a little more. It is nice to see new places and new faces, as I haven't gone out of Talika in at least 2 years. Things are slowly starting to get back to normal here, although Sasuke 1's black metal hull is still blocking my bedroom's window view of Earth, I miss seeing it from here, especially before I go to sleep, as I always do. I hope you liked my video, a little hint of the perils and dangers of living in space. It is not as glamorous as it is made to think, it can be very dangerous, and it can be nerve-wracking and stressful. Thank you for watching my video, and for liking, sharing and subscribing, I appreciate it a lot. And I hope to see you here next time. Take care. With much love, your friend, Marie Soirou.